This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So are you enjoying your final destination?
It's been all right.
Great.
It's been all right. It's been nice. It's nice going and knowing something that you're good.
Yeah. Well, I'm Emma Bell, and I play Molly Harper.
I'm Nicholas DiAugusto. I play Sam Watton.
And Emma, how long have you been up there
waiting
for your friends?
A long time. I think there was like 5 weeks in total of this, kind of, in various places.
So this is your friend up there? You have been kind of
it's my friend,
girl.
Yes. I've gotten very comfortable. I have a bed. They send me tea regularly. It's an experience, but it's the big scene of the movie, so it obviously requires the most attention.
It's fun as good as usual.
I bring her the tea. I set up the bed.
Yep.
I do all the sheets.
It's true.
She's got us all.
He's a great wife.
So we saw you when we were in there. We saw you like helping some people across. In the
uh-huh.
Were those stand-ins or actors, or are they all characters on the?
They're background players.
Okay.
Yeah, they're people.
So there's lots of people on the bus.
Yeah, there's many. Yeah, there's lots of cars full of people. There's people.
You're helping
on the
all
bus.
Those people across the bridge as well.
Yeah.
So I guess could you talk a little bit about? Obviously, everyone in the movie, especially in the opening 6 minutes, the opening sequence, everyone dies because someone has to have the vision of everyone. You know, so could you talk? Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, who has the vision?
Yeah, that's me. That's my character. And that's a real treat, you know, like to be in the franchise and be the one that gets to have the vision. It's sort of strange when you get to this point in the film and you've seen so many people die, you're wondering, like, how many reactions will look the same as the other reactions. It's great. I mean, you know, it's a terrifying experience. What's great about this set is that it's so lifelike and it has so much action on it with the gimbal and its scope and size that you know you're able to kind of transport yourself there. There's a lot of green screen, but you also have a lot of hard objects around you, a lot of tangible objects to work off of. So it's nice.
Well, being on the thing that's moving.
That's
got to be a little freaky at times.
Very.
It is. Yeah.
I had to walk across the I-beam at one point, and that was even moving while the gimbal was moving. You know, and they decided, you know, we did a take with a harness, we did a take without a harness because the harness gave it away, and it was very terrifying. I mean, like, it wasn't really a lot of acting; it was mostly just reacting. And the gimbal that you stand on moves a lot.
Yeah.
It's like a good.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I had to go back and get the knee pads, you know, kind of take care of those guys. Now, it's just like one of those things where it has so much action back.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of, like, little things that you have to kind of learn about your machine. I mean, it's like driving a car or something. You got to, like, learn the ticks.
It jolts.
They said that it's based on a suspension bridge here, so have you guys avoided that suspension bridge the entire time you guys have been shooting?
No, we actually had to drive across it several times, to get to different locations.
Yeah, and every time you do, of course, it's like... Everything about this movie, once you start it, actually one of the great stories from the beginning of it is we were all out to dinner with, you know, the studio comes up and the producers all take everyone out to dinner and everybody kind of gets to know each other and then they all go back home. But one of the producers, one of the studio execs, we were sitting, he had his back to a wine rack and I can't imagine how it happened exactly, but one of the bottles from the very top rack fell off and exploded right behind
like
him on the ground. And there's like this red wine flowing out from underneath his seat.
Final destination.
And everybody was just like, this is the christening of this film.
Yeah.
Our studio exec almost died. Yeah. And blood appears to be like filling up the table that we're all sitting at.
I don't think you guys have talked a little bit about the character, the specificness of your characters. Could you sort of talk about that?
Yeah,
sure. Like I said, I play Molly Harper, and we all live in sort of a smallish town, and you know, I think she's a very girly girl, and she works at this paper factory, and she's desperately in love with his character, but they sort of have different ideas of what they want to do in life, and she doesn't ever want to get in his way of what he wants to accomplish, and so, you know, at the start of the movie, she's sort of struggling with that, and but then through a series of terrifying events that happen to them, they have to sort of reevaluate life and their relationship together and how much they actually mean to each other.
Yeah, I mean, and that covers a lot of essentially where my character comes from in there. I mean, you know, I have my own ambitions to become a chef, to travel, and there's a great opportunity in front of me. And in the you know, this tragedy brings us together and kind of makes me reevaluate how much she means to me. And in that kind of my desire to reconnect with her, you know, the tragic elements of Final Destination unfold, and that sort of takes over the entire storyline. But, you know, what's exciting from my point of view is that I get to be the character that has to figure out where this premonition comes from, you know, what does it mean, what's the process as each of these deaths unfold. And, you know, I know that's fun for people to talk about that are fans of the franchise, and it's fun to get to kind of, you know, have my own feelings about that as well. So.
And it was cool for us, too, because the characters in this one are actually pretty well established, and as actors, we get to, on one hand, be doing this amazing action horror film, you know, with all of the deaths and all of that, but then on the other hand, there's actually a really great storyline for the two of us to play, so that was exciting.
Yeah, and it's wonderful, like, you know, it's wonderful working with Emma, which it's not a lie, and so that's been really great. I think that we've been able to find some stuff as, you know, as a relationship that's like, that will hopefully add, you know, a deeper element to caring about these characters.
What does your character do for the paper company?
What's that?
What is your character's job in the
I'm just like a regular, I'm like one of the lower salesmen, you know, like just kind of, this is just a day job for me, and that's even sort of alluded to a little bit at the beginning, like but I'm really wanting to be a chef. I've been training to be a chef.
Yeah, pretty much the same. We're probably on the same level of, I just work at probably a sales person, but I take it a little bit more seriously than he does.
With the Jim and Pam?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And the B storyline, which they never let us get into, it is that we're actually trying to take over the company.
Yeah.
We're totally unsuccessful, yeah. But we're like, you know, bringing other people into it. It's going to be very violent.
It's very weird.
It's going to be a coup.
Could you talk a little bit about working with David and PJ, and have you broken on any improv takes?
No, they're not funny at all. It was really upsetting.
It was a complete disappointment.
Right? I thought that they were going to be really funny. Yeah. I was preparing myself for laughter.
And they want to go out to dinner constantly.
All the time.
They always want to hang out.
They're probably the most funny men that I've ever encountered. They're incredibly funny. And they just are funny. Like, they're not putting it on to be funny. They just really are really, really funny guys. I mean, of course, David Koechner, everyone knows him from a lot of things. But I'm a big fan of Anchorman, so that was like, I think I got on the floor and like told him how much I loved him. And PJ, it was really weird that day, yeah. We're like, what's wrong with him? But PJ is amazing and just has all of these, what does he like to call it that he puts on the end of lines? He like puts
buttons.
A button on the end of lines, yeah. Just his little mark on it. And it's just so funny. You're just always cracking up.
Yeah, you know, they just want as many, they're just true comedians. You know, they just really want as many options to go at it. And, you know, in a script that has elements and situations that are allowed to be funny, because the Final Destination setup is such that you, like, you never really know when it's going to come from, so you're allowed to, like, characters are allowed to start feeling like they might be safe again. So there are these moments where they get to really play around. And but it's them kind of playing the situation and bringing it out that makes it really hilarious. And really, truly, PJ, they're both like, it's really fun to have them on set, the way they relate to the crew, the way they relate. They're just very, very large in the play to the crowd, which is nice. Keeps the
but they're funny in different ways. They have their own styles.
Yeah. But that just keeps a lot of levity on the
Definitely.
Set. Especially when you're all screaming, like, don't die! Like, I'm glad, please, not you either, neither you. It's very difficult for me. So it's good to have some breaking out from there.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about like pros and cons of Vancouver? What have you been enjoying up here, offset?
I'm a big fan of Stanley Park. I love just how beautiful Vancouver is. I mean, everywhere you look, it's mountains and ocean. And I live in LA, and I love LA, first off, but I didn't realize how much better the air quality was in Vancouver, and so I went back to LA for like a weekend, and I literally felt like I was breathing fire. Because it's so nice and crisp and clean up here, because of all the trees, and so that's been an amazing part of being up here, is just, I think, the cleanness of Vancouver and the nature of Vancouver.
Yeah, I would second that, but, you know, I'll also say, like, there's amazing food, and
that's true.
I've seen a few concerts up here. They have a great music scene up here, and it's actually very similar to Los Angeles in the way that their music scene's kind of set up, like lots of different styles of venues, And it's really nice, a really walkable downtown. And, you know, and really, ultimately, like, it just goes back to the cast. Like, wherever you are, it's always about the people that you get to hang around, because you, there's always this makeshift family. And truly, like, the cast is just an extraordinary cast. It's great people, really funny, interesting people, and it's kept the conversations lively. And so the experience has been really good. And times where I took long weekends off and got out of town or whatever, but spent really most of it here.
Yeah.
I wasn't back in L.A. once.
Yeah, there's not a lot of traveling. We all kind of stay here.
Yeah.
Since the format of these films is so well known at this point, being a fifth one, as an actor, is there sort of, is it hard to kind of not play into some of, maybe, you know, not, you don't want to tell too much of what might happen, or play into some of the things that fans might expect in these movies with the characters? How do you sort of keep them fresh and original?
You know, I think you just have to approach it the way I just approach it the way I approach any character. You know, like I saw the films, and the structure is the same. What's nice about this, I'll say about the structure, is there is a twist. Every one of them has its own sort of twist for its particular within the world. But this one has, I think, an even more extraordinary twist within the world, in the sense that the characters have there's something happens that makes the characters relate to each other in a different way. And so that has allowed us, I think it allows the narrative to change in a way that is, I can't really like talk about it, but I mean, it's a fun twist, and it's good for all of us, because it adds a dramatic element, that you're playing off the people around you rather than just this kind of inanimate fate. But you know, from my perspective, you just kind of try and bring, you know, what you are, and hope that that's the different thing that, you know, that is different for the film.
Yeah, it's also good to sort of, I mean, approach it as if, like, it's the first time, and, you know, it's never happened to my character before, like, you know, although there are other movies, this sort of thing has never happened to my character, so it's, or me, certainly in my life. So, yeah, like, approaching it from a point of view where it's absolutely new, and everything is happening for the first time, kind of keeps it fresh in that way. Without any kind of preconceived notion of what should happen.
It happened to me a couple of times, but like for me, I thought that like looking back at this, but it was all in Omaha, which is where I'm from, and so I was just like, it's a whole new world, the West Coast, people are dying here, this is new. So that's the way I approach the process.
Yeah. So maybe two last questions.
Emma, this week was your big exit from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And what's been exciting every week after an episode airs is people discussing it, and sort of the show lends itself to arguments about the way characters react to things. And one of the big discussions that happened after this week was the way that Andrea dealt with Amy.
Yes.
And waited there.
Yes.
What's sort of your take? If you were in that same position, could you put a bullet in the head of your sister?
I don't think you'd really have much of a choice. I mean, the actress who played Andrea, Lori Holden, and myself, we became very, very close while shooting it, and we actually call each other sister. It's like kind of weird, but it's kind of great. And so when we were shooting that scene, you know, I absolutely know where she's coming from. I think she's a great actress to make that choice of, like, you kind of don't want to believe, like, you know that it can happen or that it does happen. And if you were looking at someone else's experience, you'd say, okay, you need to get, sort of like how everyone else is like, we need to get rid of her.
Right.
But from her, you know, personal attachments to me as her sister, she just didn't want to believe it. She didn't want to believe, A, that I was dead, or B, that I would ever come back as like a monster, because I'm her little sister. So when she waits that long and I do come back, I think in that moment when I do come back, all of the like hoping that maybe I'm just sleeping or maybe I'm just hurt, you know, you sort of bargain with yourself that way. I think all of that kind of disappears in that moment, and she realizes this isn't Amy. You know, Amy is actually gone. And this is just a terrible, evil thing that's inside of Amy's body. So, yeah, it was a very difficult scene for her to shoot. For us all to shoot, actually. It was really emotional. But yeah, I think you really wouldn't have much of a choice, because the alternative is that I'd be walking around as a monster, you know, which is not a great fate. You don't ever want to see that.
Between Walking Dead, Frozen, this film, have you had enough of Kara yet, or have you got a lot of room to explore within the genre?
Well, I think that there is a lot of room to explore in the genre. I mean, there's a lot of different types of horror, and I've never been in a slasher horror film, for example. You know, these, it's all been sort of action thriller, or with Frozen, it was, you know, sort of a character drama slash thriller horror. And with The Walking Dead, I mean, it's like zombie. I feel like it's its own little area. I certainly have gotten a lot out of this genre. Yes, of course, I'd love to do many, many, many things, you know, not just horror, but horror has been great. So, can't complain.
Yeah. I'm curious if when you signed on for the show, if you knew your exit would be in the first season.
Oh, yeah. She dies in the comic book, so I kind of knew that was going to happen. Yeah. I didn't know when it would happen, but. And they luckily elongated my story, so that was nice.
And real quick for the both of you, I know that this all happened really quick. Could you sort of talk about how quickly you got into this movie? You know, from auditioning to, you know, filming?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it was really quick, and it was quick from my perspective. You know, it's strange how that sort of process goes. I mean, about this one, I mean, I went out for an audition. The next time I came back, I met Steve Quayle and Craig Perry and Sheila, and then I had the role. Like, this was all within maybe 2 weeks or so. And at the same time, you know, you're going out for so many other projects. Like, I remember a project I'd tested for, like, on 2 different occasions. It was over a month, and I'd just gotten word that one didn't go. And it's, like, the great gift that the business gives you sometimes, that you don't get the project that you were working so hard to get, and then the thing that happens right after it happens in 2 weeks. You just feels like it skates right in. And I would, this is 100 times better than the other project would have been. I get to do so many more exciting things, and to have the experience of being up here for 3 months in Vancouver is a real joy. So sometimes the business pays you back.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It was very fast for me too. I auditioned. I did an audition. About 2 days later, I got a call that New Line wanted to meet me. I went up to meet New Line, and then the next day they called to say that I had to go to Vancouver the next day for 3 months. So it was about 4 days, the process.
Doing that is, you know, it's a certain tact for an actor too, because, you know, you're having to act on these imaginary things.
Yeah.
And the horror of stuff, being in other horror films, do you think that also helped them go, okay, she gets what's necessary to do this?
I think so. I think Craig Perry, who's obviously like the father of Final Destination, had seen Frozen, had enjoyed it, so I think that helped. But you know, I know that they were actually looking on this one for my character. They were what they mentioned in my audition that they really liked was sort of how I chose to relate to his character in the audition. Versus, I didn't have any of the like death scenes in my audition. It was mostly character stuff, and so I think that actually is a mark of what they're trying to do with this particular Final Destination, is get back to. You know, obviously you have all the action and all the horror, but they want to get back to a place where the characters are really defined and have really great relationships.
And then it looks like we're going to be driving some trucks out of here.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, no, of course, man. It's my pleasure.
Thanks.
See you as always, sir.
See you as always.